A young girl and a woman have been seriously injured after a suspected stabbing in Dublin city centre this afternoon. Two other children were injured in the attack. A suspect has been detained by Gardaí.
5-year-old girl and a woman in her 30s are in a serious condition in hospital following an attack at Parnell Square East in Dublin this afternoon.
A date has been set for the trial of a man charged with the attempted murder of 3 children on Parnell Square in Dublin city. Riyad Bushakar faces 5 other charges, including assault causing serious harm, 3 counts of assault causing harm, and 1 knife offence.
Welcome to All Rise. I'm Aisling Moore, radio producer.
And I'm Frank Graney, Newstalk's courts correspondent.
Day 5 of the trial heard from more eyewitnesses who gave accounts of the alleged attack, including a cyclist who hit the accused with a bike lock and a man who knocked him to the ground with a punch to the face.
A chef described sprinting across the road after seeing a child being stabbed, and a couple visiting Dublin that day described how an otherwise pleasant afternoon turned into anything but.
7 witnesses called today, all of whom were cross-examined. This is All Rise, the Riyad Bushakar trial. Welcome to episode 6. He had to be put down. So Frank, Oisin Murphy was the first witness called today. He was cycling home on his lunch break on the day of the alleged attack, and it's a familiar route to him. He likes that part of town, so always looks at the buildings on Parnell Square East when he's cycling by.
Yeah, and that's precisely what he was doing on the day in question when his attention was drawn to a group of school children standing in a line and a man walking past them down the street towards O'Connell Street. What caught this person's eye was that when this man turned around after he had walked past the last child, was that he then took out a very large knife from his jacket. Mr. Murphy said it had been concealed up until that point, and in one movement, he said this man grabbed a child and planted the knife multiple times into her chest and neck.
This aspect of Mr. Murphy's evidence was challenged under cross-examination, but we'll get to that. He described the man as middle-aged, in his 50s. He said he was overweight with tanned skin and was wearing a baseball cap and a jacket.
Yeah, and he said that as soon as he saw the action with the knife, a very disgusting thing to see, as he put it, he said he stopped immediately and he just said, "What the fuck?" He said it was a bizarre thing to see, and then he stood to demonstrate the stabbing motion that he had witnessed. He said it was downwards into the child's neck and chest. And as soon as an adult, whom we now know was the childcare worker, one of Mr. Bushakar's alleged victims, Leanne Flynn, she has already given her evidence. And this witness said that as soon as she came to pull the child away, he said the man then went for the next child. He said he wasn't sure what happened after that, but that some other people were approaching. And as the two men grappled with him, trying to get the knife away, he said the man seemed willing to attack them too. That's when he said he hit him with his bike lock.
Yes, and he hit him on his head. He said a few more people then jumped in and brought him to the ground. And at that point, he said he went straight over to the girl. He said she was in a pool of blood, potentially lifeless.
That's right. His evidence in chief concluded soon afterwards. He was cross-examined by Mr. Bushakar's barrister, who described everything that happened as utterly shocking. The witness agreed. He was asked if his memory was quite clear. He said parts were, but that parts have since been blocked out due to the trauma of it all. It was suggested to him that his memory was significantly impaired and that CCTV footage already shown to the jury would prove certain aspects of the testimony that he gave today were wrong. He was asked if he was sure he saw Mr. Bushakar walking up and down the line, and there was some to-ing and fro-ing between them about that. It was suggested that he couldn't have seen him walk past the line in the way that he had suggested. The footage didn't support it, and the defence barrister asked for the clip to be played. As I say, this is a clip that has already been played as part of that 1-hour compilation that was put together by investigating Gardaí. At this point, the witness, Oisin Murphy, became quite upset, repeatedly saying that he didn't want to see it. Instead, the barrister used his own words to illustrate what that clip shows. Riyad Bushakar standing at a bus stop, for 1 minute and 39 seconds before taking the 3 or 4 strides towards the children. And the witness accepted that if that's what the footage shows, then his account of him walking up and down the line of school children was indeed wrong.
The next witness called is the husband of a witness called yesterday. Colin Hernan described driving through the city centre with his wife and 9-month-old daughter. They were going to Arnott's to visit Santa, travelling down Parnell Square East at what he described as a relatively slow pace. He remembered thinking the street was unusually quiet, noting there was very little traffic.
Yeah, and as he approached the area outside an English language school, he said a pedestrian suddenly stepped out in front of his vehicle from the right-hand side, forcing him to stop. And he said his attention was initially focused on that pedestrian and ensuring that he could move safely past the car. But at around the same time, his wife, whom the jury heard from yesterday, became visibly distressed, began shouting about a man with a knife. This witness then turned his attention, he said, to the left-hand side of the street where he saw school children standing in a line along railings. He then noticed a man and near the children. He described this man as under 6 feet tall, stocky in build, wearing dark clothing and with hair that appeared peppered grey. According to Mr. Hernan, the next thing he saw was this man crouching or bending forward, towards what he believed was the third child in the line. He said he then saw the man begin making what he described as repeated stabbing motions.
He described the man's right arm moving back and forth while his left arm appeared to be positioning or holding the child in place. He told the jury he could see the man was holding a kitchen knife in his right hand. He guessed it was maybe 12 inches in length.
Yeah, that was his evidence. And at that moment, he said he found himself trying to decide what to do and whether he should physically intervene. He was obviously conscious of the fact that he was in the car with his family. Before he could act, however, he noticed a moped which appeared to have been abandoned in the middle of the bus lane, quite close to their car, and a man heading towards the scene with his helmet off. Moments later, then he said that he moved the car a little bit forward. He said he placed a 112 call during which he reported that an individual was stabbing children.
During cross-examination, defence counsel questioned whether parts of Mr. Hernan's recollection may have been influenced over time. He was also questioned about this pedestrian he mentioned in his evidence in chief, because that was something he hadn't mentioned in his Garda statement. The defence also suggested his memory may have become influenced by conversations with his wife, which was something that he rejected. Finally, counsel suggested that he may have seen less than he now recalls. Mr. Hernan disagreed, he maintaining that when he looked across the road, the attack was still unfolding, particularly in relation to the girl he had described, and that events became more chaotic as the man moved toward another child.
Yeah, and that concluded his evidence. The next witness called then was a man called Warren Donoghue. He was in the city centre that day with his family. They had something to eat that afternoon. They were walking by the Rotunda Hospital when he heard a commotion around the corner, shouting and screaming.
At first, he thought it was an argument between a man and a woman, but it soon became clear to him that it was more than that.
Yeah, and he said that he ran over. He tried to stop it. At that point, he said he saw the kids, realised the man had a knife and was trying to cut them up. He said he thinks the girl had been hurt before he got there. He saw two kids on the ground, the man waving the knife around in his right hand. He said he just hit him in the jaw with a clenched fist. And when asked by the prosecuting barrister why he did that, he said he had to be put down for what he was doing.
And he did go down. Other people were around at that stage. And after he went down, Mr. Donoghue said he hit him again to ensure he didn't get back up.
Yeah, and even the defence commended him for his extraordinary bravery that day. Riyad Bushikr's barrister told him he had done nothing wrong and that nobody would criticise him for what he did, given the circumstances. He accepted that the man with the knife, the defence barrister that is, and this is something that he has said throughout various cross-examinations with other prosecution witnesses, he accepts that the man with the knife that day was his client, Riyad Bushikr. And he put it to this witness, Mr. Donoghue, that Mr. Bushikr had every opportunity to kill or cause serious injury to the children. And that was something that Mr. Donoghue agreed with.
His mother-in-law was called after the lunch break today. Her name is Bernie Power. She gave her account of what she heard and saw that day. She said she saw the man flinging the woman to one side. She described the panic and screaming, and she could see the man with a child in his left arm, a little girl. She said he had a knife in his right hand. A picture of a knife found near the scene was shown to her under cross-examination, and she agreed that it was a fierce-looking knife.
Yeah, and the next two witnesses called then were a couple up visiting Dublin by the names of Michael Healy and Eileen Flynn O'Sullivan. They both gave evidence today. They had stayed in the Gresham Hotel the night before, taking in a show at the Bord Gáis Theatre. And the next day, they went to an exhibition at the Hugh Lane Gallery, which is on the north side of the square. They both gave accounts of witnessing the alleged attack unfold while walking back from the gallery. The pair said that they were walking towards O'Connell Street when they suddenly heard a woman screaming from the opposite side of the road. Both of them said that their first impression was that a man and a woman were involved in some sort of an argument or an altercation, but that it quickly became apparent that something much more serious was happening. Michael Healy said that he saw a man physically attacking a woman who appeared to be standing between him and a line of school children. And he described the woman as trying to stop him, saying that she was knocked to the ground while attempting to protect the children.
Behind that woman, he said, stood a line of children wearing backpacks, and they were pressed together near the railings. He told the jury he could see a large knife in the man's hand, which he described as a big carving knife, and said that once the woman had been pushed aside, the man appeared intent on getting to the children. According to him, the man was not targeting one child in particular. He described the man as holding the knife in his right hand in a stabbing position, while using his left hand to grab and position children. He recalled children screaming and struggling to get away, and said it appeared to him that two or three children had been injured.
Yeah, and in her account, Eileen Flynn O'Sullivan described the man as hell-bent on getting to as many children as he could. Both witnesses described the arrival of members of the public who intervened. Mr. Healy recalled a man arriving suddenly on a scooter or a moped, coming to what he described as a skidding stop before removing his helmet and striking the man in the back of the head with it, bringing him to the ground. And he said others quickly joined in then to restrain him.
Miss Flynn O'Sullivan similarly described seeing a number of men attempting to restrain the attacker, although she said he appeared strong and continued fighting back for a time. After the man had been restrained, both witnesses recalled another moment involving the knife being removed from the scene. Mr. Healy said he saw a young man arrive on a bicycle, drop the bike and run toward them carrying what appeared to be the knife. Not realizing he was helping, the couple briefly feared there might be another attacker and considered running before seeing him throw the knife over railings into a nearby green area.
Yeah, and we heard they remained near the location where that knife had been thrown so that they could later direct Gardaí to it. They eventually spoke with two men who agreed to stay near the knife. So they headed off to catch their train home, and they were lucky to catch it by all accounts. Under cross-examination, both of these witnesses agreed that after the childcare worker, one of Mr. Bushiker's alleged victims, Leanne Flynn, after she had been thrown aside, that the man appeared to have free rein to attack or kill as many kids as he wished.
The final witness of the day, Siobhan Carney, told the jury she'd been attending the Stardust disaster inquest at the Rotunda Hospital, explaining that her brother Liam died from injuries he suffered in the fire. During a break in the hearing, she said she had gone outside for a cigarette when she suddenly heard a scream coming from across the road.
That's right. And she said that her attention was immediately drawn to a man holding a knife after she heard that scream. She explained that because she works as a chef, her eyes instinctively followed the weapon. She said she then saw the man stab a child. And realizing what was happening, she said she immediately ran across the road toward the scene, shouting that a man was stabbing children and urging people to get the kids out of the way. She said that two children had already been stabbed and that by the time she reached the scene, the man had lunged toward a third child. That was challenged under cross-examination.
But before that, she did describe a scuffle. She said she jumped on the man in an effort to bring him to the ground, and she said the scene descended into chaos. She said the knife fell to the ground during the scuffle, prompting her to kick it away from the man. She then directed what she described as a lovely young man in brown shoes, whom she believed was not Irish, to remove the knife from the immediate area.
Yeah, and she actually apologised for her language at this point, because she said that she was just shouting, "Get the effing knife away," but the judge told her not to worry about that. They get that all the time. She then went on to say that while some people were trying to restrain this man, others were attempting to kick him. She recalled shouting that we're not savages here, urging people instead to focus on getting the children away from danger. And as far as she could tell, the man at this point was no longer a danger to anyone anyway. He looked knocked out behind her, as she put it. She then gave her account of emergency services arriving at the scene, and she actually went back into the rotunda afterwards to attend the rest of that day's inquest. She did say, though, that sometime afterwards she became quite shaken and had to go for a cup of tea as she processed, I suppose, everything that had happened that afternoon.
She too was cross-examined by the defence. She was shown a photo of the recovered knife. She said she was 100% certain that it was the same knife she had seen that day. She described it as a non-serrated carving knife, the type used for ham. And given her profession as a chef, she said she was very conscious of the damage a knife like that could cause, particularly to a child.
Yeah, and she was also questioned about the manner of the alleged stabbing. She was asked about the direction and force used, and she said her impression was that the accused was plunging the knife downward into the upper chest area of the children, explaining that because he was taller than them, the movement appeared downward rather than horizontal. And the defence barrister also challenged her certainty that two children, this is something that I mentioned a moment ago, her certainty that two children had already been stabbed before she reached the scene. He suggested that she may have been less sure than she first indicated, but she strongly rejected that suggestion, saying that she was 98% certain two children had been stabbed before the accused reached a third child, whom she believed suffered the most serious injuries.
And once her cross-examination concluded, the jurors were sent home for the evening.
That's right, yeah. And they were told that the trial will resume a little bit earlier than usual at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And we'll bring you all that evidence tomorrow evening, but that's it for episode 6 of All Rise, the Riad Bhushikar trial.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to follow or subscribe so you don't miss any of the evidence.
All Rise, the Riad Bhushikar trial.
A News Talk original podcast.
Was hosted by Frank Graney and Aisling Moore.
Follow the podcast on newstalk.com, on the Go Loud app, or wherever you get your podcasts.